Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's bless Him today. Hallelujah. We are here to worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in God's house on a Sunday morning? Amen. Don't you love Him today? Isn't He wonderful today? Amen. I come to worship Him with you today. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so faithful. God is so true. He's been a friend. Like the Scripture says, it'll stick with you closer than a brother. Amen. He's been my constant. How about you? Oh, praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. I want you, if you would, to grab your Bible, please. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy, if you would. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to begin at verse number 1 and go through 4. Again, it's such an awesome honor to be back here. I told your pastor this morning, it's exciting and wonderful to pull up and see y'all getting ready to do something bigger and greater for God. Amen? Are you pumped up about that? Amen. It's awesome. Very exciting. Vision. Praise God for that. I do love your pastor and your first lady. Do you love your pastor and first lady and their family? There's first lady. I see you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just ready to get into what God's doing here with you and go further after God. Amen? Verse number 1. He says, so you, my son, be strong. Strengthen inwardly in the grace, the spiritual blessing that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. If you're wondering, I'm reading in the Amplified. Notice here that he says, my son. This is Paul, the great man of God, speaking to his young Timothy, pouring into him, calling him his son. Verse 2, he says, and the instructions, which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, transmit or pass on and entrust as a deposit to reliable and the faithful men who will be competent, capable, and qualified to teach others also. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me read verse 3 again. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, no soldier when in service gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy, listen now, and to please the one who enlisted him. Would you please stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, I thank you so much for the wonderful privilege to be in your house today, God, to bless you and to worship you and to lift you up and to give you glory and to give you honor. Father, my prayer and my heart's desire is that we lift you high today, Lord. God, you told us that if we would lift you high, God, you would draw people unto you, Lord. God, help us as we endeavor, Lord, to lift you up, Father God, and as we praise you and as we exalt you and as we press into the greatness of who you are, Father, speak into our lives today. God, we're hungry to hear from you today, dear Lord God, to speak to us today, God. Speak through me and speak to me as you minister to your people today, Father. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your great Holy Spirit, Lord. I worship you and I thank you for people being brought into your kingdom today, Father. God, I thank you because I believe that bodies are going to be healed today, Father. I believe that homes are going to be built and established and made strong today, Father. I believe the wayward sons and daughters are going to come home today, Father. I believe that people are going to be baptized under the mighty power of the Holy Spirit today, Father. I believe you for it, and I give you all the praise because you are our praise and you are our glory, Father. In Jesus' name. Before you see that, I want you to give God the best hand clap of praise you can give him. Come on here, somebody. Oh, praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. This is a word that God has really buried deep in my heart and in my spirit. We're going to entitle the word today very simply, endurance. Somebody say endurance. Praise God. We need to endure, first of all, because we love God and don't want to hurt God. My story, most of you have heard my testimony, and I'm not going to go there. But when I came back to God, when I rededicated my life to God, God put a desire in my heart, Pastor, because I had done so much stuff. I had gone so far from God and came back and ran and back and forth and all that kind of stuff. And when I came back to God in 1996, God placed a desire in my heart that I didn't want to hurt Him any longer. Are you saying, preacher, that you've not hurt God since you came back? Absolutely, I have. But my endeavor is not to ever do it again. My heart's desire is for God to be glorified. My heart's desire is for me to spend the rest of my life, the rest of my day, letting Him know that I appreciate Him for investing in me. Turn that to your side. You need to say, God, I want to live every day of my life to your pleasure so that you will be glad that you touched my life, so that you would be glad that you moved on my life and gave me another opportunity. Because truthfully, we're all here today by grace. We're not here today because of our works. I understand the importance of works. But works is not what gets us saved. Works is what helps us to remain established in the foundation of what God has done. But grace ultimately is what has brought us to where we are. Amen. It's the wonderful grace, God's grace, greater than all of our sin, that has brought us here today. We're standing today not because we're good. We're standing today because God is good. We are standing today because the hand of the enabling one is resting upon our lives. Oh, I like what the old saints used to call it. They used to call it staying power. Come on here, you know what I'm talking about. They would call it staying power. And aren't you thankful that if God is God enough to save you, He's God enough to keep you saved, He's God enough to keep you strong, He's God enough to keep you encouraged in the Lord? No, ultimately we know many times that we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, right? We can't always look for somebody else, because David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. There are going to be times that God's going to see to it that nobody encourages you. Why? It's not that God doesn't love you. It's that God wants us to grow. God wants us not to lean upon anybody else. He wants us to lean upon Him. Amen. God wants us to learn that we can stand on our own 2 feet. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We need pastors and leaders. Now, come on here. Understand what I'm saying and don't hear what I'm not saying. We need that, but God wants us to get to the point, because there's going to be times that your pastor, as much as he loves you, he's not going to come and just cuddle you and hug you and kiss you and pat you on your back. No, there's going to be times God is going to lead him not to say anything, because God wants you to look to Him. Oh, come on here. Amen. God is looking for us to understand the establishing point in our life is Christ. So one of the reasons why we need to endure is because we want to please the one who enlisted us as a soldier. Amen. We want to please the one that called us out of the miry clay and called us out of sin and placed our feet firmly upon the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. I know sometimes it may seem like you're rocking and reeling, but if you'll keep your foundation on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, the wind may blow against you, the storm may come against you, people may talk against you, the devil will throw his fiery darts against you, but be encouraged of this, the rock, Christ, is not going to go anywhere. He's not going to leave you. He said, I will be with you even to the end of the world. Amen. So we were saying, so be it. He's not going to leave you. Aren't you encouraged to know today that God is never going to leave you? I came today, if you can't tell, to encourage you. I came today to stir you up. And if you didn't come to be encouraged, then I'm going to get on your last nerve today. Amen. Because I've come to encourage you. Amen. I've come to build you, to tell you that you can. Stop saying that you can't. You can. You can't by yourself, but you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. In fact, we're not depending upon our own strength. We're depending upon our mind and our will to say yes to God. But it's ultimately the strength of God that we're depending upon. Oh, yes. Somebody say yes. Another reason why we need to be an endurer, one that endures, one that keeps pressing, one that doesn't give up, one that doesn't give in, is because of responsibilities. Somebody say responsibilities. Everybody in this room, we have some type of responsibility in our life, and we must be true to that responsibility. Amen? Whether it is a husband, or whether it is a wife, or a grandmother, or a grandfather, or an elder, or a deacon, or a youth pastor, or a church clerk, or whatever it may be. Everybody in this room, we have some type of responsibility. And what God is wanting us to do is to say, God, I honor you over everything, but I also honor the opportunity that you have afforded me to have responsibility placed upon my life. And I want to live in such a way that you receive all the glory, and so that the gift that you placed upon my life, that I not taint the gift, but that I glorify you. That I use the gift to glorify God. That I use the gift, listen to me, to bless people. That I use the gift to be a blessing to ministry and not a subtraction. Amen. We need what God has given us, Pastor, to be an addition to rather than a subtraction from. You see, because listen to me, many of you in this room, God has placed upon your pastor and your first lady. God has placed upon them an awesome call and a great vision in this church, and God lays upon their hearts people that need to get up under. Come on. In fact, everybody needs to get up under the anointing, but I'm talking about the responsibility. He sees something in you. That's one of the times that your pastor asks you to do something, and you're like, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, Pastor, I'm not sure if I can do that. You know why he's saying that? It's because he, being your spiritual father, being your spiritual leader, God allows him to see things into your life that you don't even know exist. That's why it makes you uncomfortable. That's why it makes you nervous. But God, through your man of God and your woman of God, is calling you to stand up and say, yes, God, though I do not feel like I can do it. If you say I can do it, then I can do it. If Pastor says I can do it, then I can do it. And I'm not just going to take the responsibility and just use it like I want to. I'm going to honor the position that God has placed upon my life. Would somebody give God a good hand clap of praise and say, thank you, God, for the call? Because truthfully, everybody in this room, you have a call on your life. And we always sing that the great ones are those that are out front. But listen to me, many times the great ones are the ones that you don't see. Amen. Those that kneel beside their bed and bombard the gates of heaven and shake the very gates of hell, praying strength in the God's people. Are you hearing me? You see, that's what we need more than anything, is people that can get a hold of God and say, God, I'm here to pray. Because listen to me, God needs people to pray and to travail more than anything. God needs people that are getting along with God and say, God, you're doing great things in our church, but Lord, expand it. Expand our horizon. God, bring us those that other churches won't receive, because you and I both know their churches, they have signs that say everybody welcome, but truthfully not everybody's welcome. Come on now. You know it's true. But the blessing is in this place that you can come from every walk of life, and that's the way that God wants it to be. And truthfully, God is warning us in these final hours, because you know it, I hope you know it, Jesus Christ is soon to return, and you and I more than ever before, we need to be enduring ones. We need to be manding our battle station and say, God, when my strength runs out, I'm standing upon your strength anyway. When I'm tired in my mind, I'm depending on the Holy Ghost to pray through me, because there are times that you don't know what to say. There are times you don't know what to pray. There are times you don't know which way to go. That's where you stand and you see the salvation of the Lord, and the Spirit of God says, move your foot this way, and he leads you down the path that you need to go. Oh yes. Responsibilities. As mothers and fathers, great responsibility. Great responsibility as a husband, as a wife. Great responsibilities. Why? It's because so many times people come together for different reasons when they get married, and sometimes, well, not sometimes. If you're married, you're going to hit rough spots. Can I get an amen? All the honest ones said amens, and the scared ones didn't say anything, but that's okay. But truthfully, what we must do is endure. Come on now.
Y'all got quiet on me. The men ain't going to say nothing right there, Pastor. They smart men. They ain't saying a word. I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. But we must endure. Come on now. Endure, why? Because the world is watching. And truthfully, no matter what's going on in your life, if there has been disorder, if there has been chaos, or if you have possibly gone through a horrible divorce, the cool thing is just God is God enough to reestablish you. Amen. Amen. Let me make that clear. But responsibilities are so important. And I see all the time, as a minister, as an evangelist, as a worker in our church, I see kids. Pastor, they go home to Hell's Kitchen. They come home and we pump God and pump God them, and they go home to hell on earth. I know I'm preaching right. Teenagers come in. They have this faraway look in their eyes. And my endeavoring is to constantly and consistently tell them that God believes in them and that I believe in them. Why? Because some of them have never heard that in their life. Some of them have never heard a man tell them that they love them and know they meant it. Amen? So truthfully, we have responsibilities. As a mother, you have a God-given responsibility. As a father, you have a God-given responsibility. Not just one to be a source of seed. Come on now. To be more than that. Yes, to be the source of seed, but to be the one to be the priest of the home. The one to chaperone the wife. The one to chaperone the family. And say, devil, before you get to her, before you get to my baby, somebody help me preach. You've got to go through me first. Because I'm not going to be a man that doesn't have responsibility. I'm going to be a man that embraces the responsibility and says, Satan, you might destroy a family down the road, but you're not going to destroy my family. Because I've got a responsibility. My responsibility first is unto God and then unto my spouse and my kids to take care of them. And I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. Endurance. Number three, for the sake of those watching our lives. Truthfully, people are watching that you have no idea watching. Sometimes the ones that are watching the most are the ones that's the ugliest to you. Amen? Sometimes it's almost like the enemy uses people to see how ruffled they can get your feathers, right? You know what I'm talking about? To see if they can make you do something that you wish you hadn't done. So we must remind ourselves that we have responsibility. We must remind ourselves that people are watching us. That means when you go out to a restaurant, be kind. This is deep preaching, isn't it? Be kind. Why? Because people are watching you. Especially when they know that we're a church group, right? When I leave, I want them to say, I want them to come back to my table versus, honey, you're getting them bunch of heathens. I don't want them next time. Come on now. Am I preaching right in here? We're going to look forward that we're coming back. Amen? And stay open late when we get out of church late because they know we come faithfully. Amen? And we leave good tips, of course. The sake of those that are watching our lives. Let me move on here. Verse 10, 2 Timothy. He says, therefore, I endure all things. Now listen, this is Paul. This is not a novice. This is not someone just starting in ministry. This man has been faithful. Paul, this man, has endured great affliction. In fact, let me just read a few to you briefly so you can grasp the fact of some of what this man went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, all the ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. thrice or three times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times or thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. Are you catching the picture here? Verse 27, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, beside those things, listen now, that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all of the churches. So we see Apostle Paul, the man that is writing this in 2 Timothy, the man speaking into the life of young Timothy. This is not someone that Timothy knows is just bumping his gums, just trying to talk and trying to be the big shot. Because in fact, Paul was not trying to be the big shot. Paul was saying, young Timothy, I'm telling you because I know what I've been through. Can't we all agree that we can listen to somebody and receive from somebody a whole lot better when we know that they actually know what they're talking about? When we actually know that they have faced hardship, because Paul, as we read, you talk about difficulty, you talk about hardship. That's why Paul said, Timothy, you must endure hardness as a good soldier. He said, Timothy, I want you to know God's with you. God is in you. God is all around you. The Holy Ghost is with you. He's going to be your strength. He said, but Timothy, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not always going to be you tiptoeing through the tulips and everything going great and everything going grand and the enemy not coming against you and everybody in your family just loving you and ooh and kissy kissy, love you, love you, love you, and everybody patting you on the back. No, he said, Timothy, there are times Satan's going to do his best to do his worst. There are times he's going to use the ones that you love the most to hurt you the deepest. But I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord and remember what your spiritual father told you, that I went through all of these hardships being a man of faith. And I know because I see greatness on your life and I pour out of my spirit into yours that you are going to be one that is going to endure as well. Because listen to me. Anybody can sing a song at noonday when the sky is blue and there's a beautiful rainbow reminding you of the covenant that God has with man. But when the skies are black as midnight, when thoughts are bombarding your mind, when you feel like you failed, when you feel like you haven't done as good as you could have done, am I relating to anybody in here? When you feel like you should be further along than you are, when you feel like some of the things that you've been praying for should have already happened and for whatever reason they have not yet happened, the enemy begins to say a few words that most, I'm sure everybody in this room has heard. Just quit. Just quit. Just quit. It's not worth it. If God loved you, He wouldn't let you go through this. You ever heard that? Just quit. Just throw in the towel. Just quit. But then you remember who you are. Come on, here's somebody. You remember who you're serving. You remember the God in you. You remember the Spirit of God that lives in you. And you feel a quickening in your spirit. You feel strength come from another world. Endure. And I want you to hear my heart today because it's so vitally important. Think about it, and not casting stones, but think about those that in years past you looked up to serving the Lord. And now maybe some of those aren't even serving God. And the enemy likes to show those things, doesn't he? Are you listening to me? He likes to show you things to discourage you. Why? Because that's what he is. He is a discouraging devil. He sends his imps, he sends his demons to push you down and to discourage you, to make you think that you're not going to make it. But I'm coming to tell you by the grace of God, you can't help but make it. If you won't quit, you can't help but win. We don't serve a God where we lose every now and then. The only time I've ever lost is when I didn't do it God's way. Because I don't read where God says, you're going to lose a few battles, son. No, I can win every one of them if I do it God's way. Amen? When I look unto Him, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. If you want to look at the greatest, most supreme sacrifice of endurance, Paul, as great as he was, fails to compare to the one that I'm about to speak of in Christ Jesus. I want you to hear this in Luke 9, verse 51. It says, "Now when the time was almost come for Jesus to be received up to heaven, he steadfastly and determinedly set his face to go to Jerusalem." The scripture says of Jesus that he went to his own. Are you hearing my heart? He went to his own, and his own received him not. Those that should have embraced him didn't embrace him. Those that should have encouraged him chose not to encourage him. Those that should have said, "Man, I've got your back." Doesn't it feel good to know that you have people that have your back? That's why God created a church, for us to have each other's back, for us to come together in unity and stand over each other and chaperone each other and tell the devil, "Devil, you better go somewhere else, because that's my brother and that's my sister, and you're not going to mess with them." Even the ones that may have hurt you, they're still your brother or your sister. Help me preach right there, somebody. We still cover them. We still guard them. That's one of the importance of leadership. We cover people. Why? Because we love people. Amen. That's why Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he set his face. He said, "I know they're not all going to receive me. I know what I'm about to go through, but I set my face because I love my babies. I set my face because I'm on a mission. I'm not on a mission just to be here. I'm here so that man can get to God." He set his face. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, listen, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How in the world could Jesus look at a cross and see joy? I'll tell you why. He saw your smiling face. Amen? He saw your children. He saw your grandkids. He even saw some of those that will never bow until they have to bow when it's too late. He saw the face of everyone, and even though he knew what he was about to endure, he was saying, "It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it, because I'm going to get to have a relationship with them. It's going to be worth it. They're not going to have to spend eternity with the doomed and the damned. They're going to get to have a relationship with my Father, and I want them to know the Father. That's why I set my face." Enduring the cross. The scripture says, verse 3, "For consider him that endured the cross," or endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, "lest you be weary and faint in your mind." Let me read this to you and amplify this, so blow your mind. It says, "Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself." Catch this. "Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart, relaxing, and fainting in your minds." That's pretty plain, isn't it? When you think about the great opposition that Jesus Christ faced, you know the great gospel story, how Jesus was beaten and whipped, his back laid open for our healing, amen? "For the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes were healed." You saw how they pressed the crown of thorns upon his brow. His blood ran down his face. The whole time people are mocking and laughing and cheering and ranting and enjoying the crucifixion of what they thought to be a thief, a liar, and a robber. They called him a glutton and a wine bibber. Called him all kinds of things. But as he's there with blood running down his face, listen to me, they saw defeat. Are you hearing me today? They saw defeat, but what they didn't know was he was showing us how to endure. Because listen to me and remember this, God will never ask you to do something that he's not willing to model before you. He can say endure because he endured. And as the sky turned black as midnight, the earth began to convulse. He bowed his head and cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he gave up the ghost. You know the story. They buried him in the Baru tomb. He ascended back to the Father. He defeated the devil and all that good stuff. Sent the promise of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. The enduring one, which is Jesus, he being our great Father, our heavenly Father, he showed us the portrait of endurance, and he has imposed it unto us. Help me right here, somebody. The spirit of endurance, because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So be of good cheer. He's imparting his spirit of endurance unto us. And though the enemy comes, and listen to me, I understand the enemy is fighting with great wrath. The devil is doing the best that he can to try to get people to cave in and to try to get us to quit, to get you exhausted, to get you wore out, to attack your finances, to attack your body, to attack your kids, to attack your job where they're laying people off and they're talking about laying you off and you feel pressure. You feel stuff pushing you down. But the Holy Ghost, help me in this place today, somebody. The Holy Ghost has sent me to encourage you in the name of the great author and finisher of our faith, who is Jesus Christ, to encourage you that you can endure because he has already endured. And because he lives in us, we can stand. We can stand against the face of time. We can stand against opposition because we are fighting for him. I want you to stand to your feet. We're supposed to be through now, aren't we, Pastor? Too many good people. Too many good people have believed the lie from the enemy that they can't make it. Too many good ministers have believed the lie that you can't make it. Too many good laity have believed the lie that you can't make it. Too many new converts have believed the lie that they can't make it. There's too much opposition against them to make it. But today, I'm sure you've heard before, but today you've heard again the great encouraging word from God Almighty, where he says that we can, listen, do what? What did he say? Does all mean all? All things through Christ. And listen to me. I'm closing. Really am. The Lord spoke to me, Pastor, a while back. And he said, son, one of the greatest ways to win the lost to Christ is for them to see us being consistent. Or to see us enduring. For them to see, God forbid, some fall. But to see you stand. Maybe with tears streaming down your face, with a smile on your face all the more, saying, I did not start to quit. I started to finish. So Matthew 10:22, Jesus said that you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Listen, but he that endureth to the what? End. The same shall be saved. So the fulfillment of our salvation is to do what?
Endure.
To endure. And when they take their glasses out to watch you, some take their glasses out to judge you and to condemn you, let them see you not arrogantly but confidently stand. Let them see you when difficulty hits your life, you stand. You may be bracing yourself against the wind, but they may see you do many things, but they'll never see you quit. That's one thing you never saw Jesus quit. That's why He tells us, that's why He encourages us not to, because, Pastor, He never quit. He never quit. Father, thank You. Thank You today for Your great gospel and for Your Holy Spirit. For great people to minister to. Pray You take this word, lodge it deep in our heart. In Jesus' name. I want to give you an opportunity if you need prayer this morning. If you're here, first of all, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand? Give me the great honor to lead you to the one that will never leave you nor forsake you. Is there anyone that wants to be saved? Anybody. Is there anybody here today? Maybe you're falling back from the Lord. Maybe you turned your back on Him. He wants you to know He's never turned His back on you. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that needs prayer today? You say, Preacher, I belong to God. I'm serving God. But I need strength today. Is that you? Before I turn this mic over to your pastor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bless you, Lord. For a moment, worship Him. Worship Him. God bless your people. I encourage them through your word. I build them up through your word. And I take pleasure in the portion of their life to tell them that they can stand. That they can't help but stand. Because you're in. You give the Lord ovation of praise as your pastor comes. So many opportunities we have in life to go backwards. Just do less than what we know we should. Just to take the pressure off. Maybe we just go along with the group just this time because I just don't want to have to deal with it. Maybe we just don't apologize to the wife or the husband because I'm just too tired. Maybe we just hold something because I just don't feel like dealing with it. If we're not careful, we'll call that endurance. We'll say, Lord, I'm just carrying so much weight. But really and truly, it's just the fact that we haven't given Him that weight. We just haven't given it to Him. Here in this room, as we pray here in just a few minutes, I don't know what weight it is. I don't know what it is that you just haven't given away. Maybe it's something somebody said to you a long time ago and you still carry it. They said, I'm not pretty. Or they said, I'm dumb. Or they said this. They said that. I don't know what it is. That's what God's job is, to go in and search that heart. To find that spot that makes us not as strong as we want to be. this morning as we pray. Right? As we pray. Will you just let Him do that? You just let Him do that. Maybe it is somebody I need to look over to and say, I'm sorry. Maybe it is something I need to let go of. If that person never says, I'm sorry for saying that, it doesn't matter. Just let it, I got to let it go. I got to quit blaming somebody and everybody and my past and everything for where I'm at. And today I have to decide if I'm going to endure for Christ. If I'm going to do it. Can't say everybody else around is going to do it. I just have to say whether I'm going to do it. St. Paul that had a Timothy, he had a Demas. He said, for Demas has forsaken me for the love of this present world. He's been around people that, you know what, they didn't live up to all their expectations. You will too. I can't determine everything about my kids. I can't determine everything about my wife or my mom, my dad. I can only say, as for me. As for me, I don't want anything to separate me from that greatest passion in my life. To endure until I receive a crown. Think about that. I don't care how big your head is. There's a crown that'll fit it. I got a big head. I can't find baseball caps that'll hardly fit my head. But there's a crown that'll fit it just fine. If we endure. Can you bow your head with me? Father, God, we lean and try to count on so many people for our own race. God, we have responsibilities. We have people who watch us. God, we have a crown to win. And Father, if there's anyone in this place right now, as we pray this last prayer, that right at this moment, they are saying to themselves, I'm carrying more than I need to carry. I need to enjoy more and tote less. It doesn't matter if they don't want to be my friends. It doesn't matter if they don't want me in the family. It doesn't matter if the boss keeps saying, you may not be here much longer. It doesn't matter. I've got somebody who is fighting for me. I've got somebody who will take care of me. I've got somebody who will walk with me. And I'm going to cast all of this weight on Him right now. Lord, this is what I'm carrying that I can't fix. This is what I'm toting that I don't know how to make right. This is what I'm feeling that I don't know how to change. I give it to you. Now you deal with it. You deal with it. However it's going to work out, that's in your hands. But as for me, I'm going to endure. And I'm going to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.